Before I get started, I just wanted to share quickly a little bit of my experience over the last 10 days in Colorado. Like I said, it's always impactful. There's always plenty to learn, plenty to hear. But for some reason, this one was different. We sit in this room every morning and every evening, looking out basically a wall of windows at Pike's Peak. Life's rough. And every time we sit in there, we marvel at God's creation. We marvel at what He's done, the things that He just made, and how even the most creative of people couldn't come up with some of the stuff that God comes up with. And while that's always been overwhelming to me, Sunday, I went out with a group from my cohort running. You probably saw some pictures on Facebook. We got all muddy and ran through the trails of Cheyenne Mountain. Had a lot of fun. But while we were running, one of the guys in our group, after the run, we sat in his car, and the other two were still kind of shaking the mud off their shoes, and he said, "You know, nobody can doubt that we worship today." And I thought, he's right. And why does it need to stop now? And so that evening, we had a service, and I was able to kind of speak to what God had been opening to me throughout the day. And I thought, why is it that we can sit and marvel at Pike's Peak, and we've become numb to God's greatest creation, the thing that He created in His image? People. And so that kind of was heavy on my heart from Sunday through the time coming home. And then Tuesday afternoon, Monday and Tuesday, we spent time in our social justice class. And so Tuesday afternoon, our professor loaded us all up into a van, and we went to downtown Denver to Mile High Ministries. And they have a coffee house right smack dab in the middle of the city of Denver that caters to homeless people. And so as we're driving, we're kind of all preparing ourselves for the things that God wants to do in and through us that day. And we get there, and we unload, and Dave says, "Just go in and be yourself." And all of us just kind of went, no instruction, no plan, just go in here and love these people. And so I sat down at a table with a guy named James, and we talked for 30, 45 minutes. And just the impact that I got from him, that, man, you see me. I'm human to you. Just overwhelm me. And we talked a lot about the Imago Dei, which is Latin for the image of God, which, as friends, more than any other tradition, we believe in that of God in every man. And so then we go upstairs, and the director of this ministry kind of shares with us how he came to serve there. He'd been there for 4 years. The things that he's been trying to incorporate into their ministry. It's funny because we asked him what faith tradition he comes from, and he said, "Well, it doesn't matter where I come from. It just matters where I am." And he said, "Surprisingly enough, I've really found a kindred place with the Quakers." And so people are drawn to the heart of what it means to be a friend. There's a lot of awesome foundational principles that come with being part of a friend's church and believing in the things that friends hold dear. And so that impacted his life, and that's where he found a kindred place. He doesn't worship at a friend's church, but he said, "If I had to say anything, I'd call myself a Quaker." And so goes through this process of sharing with us and enlightening us. I mean, brilliant man. And then he hands out these packets of paper, and they have 10 stations on them. And he says, "You're going to go on what I've called a poverty walk." And this is where I get the title of my sermon today. He says, "You're going to go stand in the gap. You're going to go out there and in a way, experience what the people that you just got through talking to experience on a daily basis." And so there's 10 stations, and to make a long story short, we hit each station, and each one comes with a little story about something that a homeless person in Denver might experience, a way to kind of put yourself in their shoes. Like one said, imagine being 40 years old and not being able to hold down a job because of mental illness or addiction. Imagine the feelings of self-worth. And I mean, it just helps you kind of put yourself in that place. And then at one station, we actually got to hold a sign up that asked for money and stand on the street corner of a busy intersection. And I shared this with John yesterday. I said, it broke me. Nobody knew I existed. They just drove by, didn't even pay attention to me. And the purpose of that exercise wasn't to feel that brokenness, but to pray for the people on the other side of the steering wheel. That they would see the imago Dei, the image of God in everyone. And so I continue to pray for our church and for the visions that we've shared through our 42 days, through our visioning service. And the idea of bridge building, I just can't shake that. And I think when we get down to it, it kind of encompasses everything that we talked about at our visioning service. To build a bridge accomplishes everything that we put on that list. And so I hope you don't get tired of hearing bridge building, because I think we're going to be there for a while. And I think that's good. And so, just to kind of get our bearings about us again. First of all, if you take any illustration far enough, it's going to break down. So don't, I mean, we're going to carry bridge building as long as it's going to take us. But eventually there's going to be a way that this doesn't relate to the church. That's okay. As long as it keeps us focused on the vision that God has for us, we'll use it. And when it's no longer useful, we'll move on to the next thing. And so I don't want you to feel like, man, we're just stuck here forever. We're going to use it as long as God blesses it. But bridge building is a lot like chess. Anybody play chess in here? I could probably teach you how to play chess in about 5 minutes. It's really not a complicated set of movements on the board. But it takes a lifetime to master. And that's the same way with bridge building. And use that term interchangeably with the ministry of the church, because I really feel like that is kind of what I'm talking about. And so church ministry, you can learn how to do it in 5 minutes, but it takes a lifetime to master. It takes practice. It takes actually doing it. If I play chess with you right now and you'd never played before, I could teach you how to play in 5 minutes and then beat you in 30 seconds. And that's kind of what ministry does. You can learn how to do it in 5 minutes, but if you don't practice and you don't take the time to read the scriptures and see how Jesus did it and learn from the author of ministry himself, it's going to beat us. And that's not the point. Bridges impact our past, our present, and our future. Life and death decisions are made every day on a bridge. More suicides happen on a bridge than any other type of suicide in the world. Battles are fought over bridges because they control the flow of traffic one way or the other. Bridges have changed the landscape of the world. Bridges have both function and they invoke exhilaration. We can experience triumph and fear with a bridge. The ultimate purpose of every bridge is the same: to connect two sides, to bring two sides together, to connect people. So what is bridge building? Well, it's connecting two sides. If a bridge doesn't connect two sides, it's not a bridge. If you have a structure that goes out so far into a lake and stops, it's not a bridge, it's a dock. It doesn't have function as a bridge. It doesn't help you connect from one side to the other. Connecting two sides of whatever it is that creates separation, connecting relationships, connecting canyons, connecting rivers, connecting differences, connecting those things that we see every day and have become numb to, like the man holding the sign. The idea of bridges as ministry is rooted biblically, and I shared this before I left, 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 20. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He said, I reconciled you to me. Now here you go. I'm giving it to you. And I thought a lot about this. When you get an invitation to visit the White House, President Obama requests your presence at such and such time on such and such a day. It's not really a request as much as it is a mandate. If you get an invitation of the White House, you're pretty much expected to come. Now, President Obama is a man, just like you and me. Puts on his pants one leg at a time, I think. And so if an invitation from the President of the United States is considered a mandate, then what is it when God gives us something? How much more of a mandate is the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bridge building? Because he said, okay, I showed you how to do this. I've done it once for you through my son. Now here you go. I'm passing it on to you. God gave us the ministry of bridge building. Sometimes it seems like a burden. And I talked a lot about this with my class. I said, sometimes ministry seems like a burden. It wears us down. We get tired. We get burnt out. We do the same thing long enough, and pretty soon we don't want to do it anymore. But it's not a burden, and it's a gift. And if we see it as a gift rather than a burden, I think we can approach it with the right set of eyes, with the right heart, with the right mindset. Ministry doesn't happen in our own power. Bridge building doesn't happen in our own power. If you think about the reality, the real building of a bridge, some guy off the street can't just decide, you know what, today I think I'm going to build the Golden Gate Bridge and then get started and do it. He has to study. He has to learn from the people that have gone before him. He has to have a team of people around him, each with their own set of gifts and abilities to accomplish this great task. And then at some point, before the bridge gets underway, he actually has to get in a boat and go out from a distance and stare at the expanse that he's trying to bridge. He has to stand in the gap and visualize what that bridge is going to do, how it's going to function, what it's going to look like. In ministry, we have to constantly revisit the divine center of our soul. We can't just wake up tomorrow and decide, you know what, today's a really great day to start a coffee ministry, or start a ministry to the homeless people, or start a ministry to widows or orphans or divorced couples or whatever. Not in our own power, because we'll fail. It will crush us in 5 minutes. We have to study. We have to learn. We have to have a team of other people that are passionate about that ministry to come alongside of us. And we have to stand in the gap. We have to see it from their perspective. We have to be with the people that we're trying to minister to. That's what Jesus did. Who did he spend most of his time with? Widows, orphans, tax collectors, lepers, the sick, the dying. And this morning we talked about his band of merry men, the disciples. They weren't anything exciting. Fishermen who had been passed by other rabbis, who had gone beyond their usefulness in the spiritual world. And Jesus says, that's all right. I got something for you. Bridge building is demonstrated currently. It's an ongoing thing. Anybody that drives knows that. There's always construction. There's always repair. There's always things that we have to constantly be looking at from different perspectives to see, is this still functioning the way it was created to function? Is it time to repair this? Is it time to tear it down and build a new one? Do we need another one somewhere else? John gave me a good example yesterday. Do we need two lanes rather than one? They're also relationship-oriented. They're about people. Ministries are about people. They're not about the thing that we do or the program that we're organizing. It's about the people. So if we don't get to question 3 or question 5 in the study guide, that's okay. It's about the people. It's about seeing them. It's about sitting down with James at the table at the coffee shop and having him feel human for the first time in a long time. Somebody to ask him questions about his life, where he's been, where he's going, what he's doing, what are his interests. We didn't even talk about Scripture. I didn't talk about Jesus to him. Instead, I looked at him as if he was Jesus. And I tried to be Jesus to him. And I think he felt love. So when building a bridge, when starting a ministry, when becoming a church that impacts the communities that we are part of, what's the starting point? The title of this message, we have to stand in the gap. We have to stand in the gap. God's bridge to us through Jesus Christ is the example. It's the blueprint that we visit when we decide, okay, what is a bridge from our church to the community, from my heart to their heart, going to look like? Well, let's go back to the original architect of bridge building. What did his look like? What does it mean for us to stand in the gap as a church, as individuals, to put ourselves in someone else's shoes? I think every person in here has at least heard the gospel message in its entirety. I won't say for sure that everyone's accepted it. I don't know. I hope so. I pray so. But there are people in our communities that have never been given that opportunity. Isn't that crazy? In the United States of America, in central Iowa, there are people that have never been asked if they want to put their trust in Jesus Christ, that have never been given the entire gospel message, that have never been told the true impact of Jesus' love on their life. And sadly, maybe have never experienced that love from someone else. It's crazy. And that's our job as the church, to bridge that gap. So how do we stand in it? Well, we build relationships with them. We sit at the table with them and talk about life. Get to know them. What are their fears? What are their hopes and dreams? What is it that somewhere along the way has turned them away from Christianity or the church? And how can we be different? The greatest hindrance to learning is when you think you already know something. I'm going to say that again. The greatest hindrance to learning is when you think you already know something. I think a lot of us think we already know about people. Man, that guy doesn't want to have anything to do with that, with the church. That guy has had his chance to get a job. He's just lazy. This and that or the other. We think we know. And so we don't want to try to learn. We think we know what it meant for Jesus to sacrifice, and so we're done learning about that. We think we know what ministry looks like, and so we don't need to worry about doing more. We got it figured out. When we think we know something, we're really dropping the ball. Because God wants to continually transform us. So why do we need to build bridges? What's the point? Why do we want to impact the people in our communities, the people that are hurting, the people that live on the margins, the ones that we're not really even sure we would be comfortable with them being in our church, maybe? Does that bother you? Bothers me. What if a homeless man came to our church and hadn't showered in a month? What if a gay man came to our church? What if a leper came to our church, covered in sores? How loving are we? Do we already know about them? We don't want to learn anymore? Maybe the most impactful thing that Andrew, the director of this ministry, said to me, and said to all of us. We talk about brokenness, about being brokenhearted, about having a heart broken for others. And he said, there's a difference between being shattered to a point that you're useless and being broken open. He said, and I pray that when you go back to your churches, that your heart would be broken open. That the fullness of God's love would be able to pour out of that brokenness. Richard Stearns, who is the director of World Vision, prayed a prayer every day leading up to his accepting the role. And he said, Lord, break my heart for the things that break yours. You know what breaks God's heart? The people that haven't heard about his love. And their inevitable destination if somebody doesn't tell them. Lucas just said in open worship, it's easy for you to say you know where you're going. You know what's scary is we know where they're going too. And they don't. I want us to impact our community, not for Bangor Liberty Friends Church, not so that we can fill this room and have to add on or anything like that, but so that we can impact the kingdom. So that the same opportunity that you had at some point in your life to hear the message of Jesus' love is available to those around us. That we can stop passing judgment because we already know about them and come from a place of a broken, open heart where God's love can flow. So what's the application? Where do we go from here? I just jotted down a few ideas. This is not exhaustive. This is something really for us to take back and pray about. And I hope that prayer hasn't stopped at 42 days. I really hope that you're continuing to seek after God's will, God's vision. Because just as people change, just as our society changes, the way that we're called to respond also changes. So just when we think we get it figured out, it's going to change. So here's a few thoughts that I jotted down. Continue praying for God to reveal areas of your life that cross a gap. We cross bridges every day, physical bridges, metaphorical bridges. What are areas in your life where you're crossing a gap and not even paying attention to what's underneath? Just ask God to reveal those to you. What people are you passing by? What's going on around that you're not even aware of? Where is there separation between God and the world in your daily life? How can you look at the gap from a new perspective and begin drawing plans to bridge that gap? How do you stand in the gap? How do you see it differently? How do you ask for new vision to see that in a different way? And then start to think, just brainstorm prayerfully. God, how can I be a part of bridging this gap? How can the church come alongside of you in this? There's no solo missions. If you feel God impressing something on your heart, a way to bridge a gap that's in your daily life, I want to hear about it. I want to get excited about it with you. I want to help you. I want to give you the right people and the right resources so that that can be successful. Where are the gaps from our church to the communities that we serve? What are the chasms that we're missing? Where don't we have bridges that maybe we should? What are some of the bridges we have that maybe people aren't using anymore? How can we stand in these gaps and gain new insights on how to bridge them? How do we get among the people that we're trying to reach? Stand in the gap, look at life from their perspective, get to know them, help them to understand that we see them and see the image of God in them, to love them where they're at. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, of bridge building. If you doubt that, look at 2 Corinthians 5. He gave it to us. It's ours. So my prayer, let's get to work. Let's think outside the box. Let's get excited. Let's use our imaginations. Let's use the gifts and abilities that God gave us. And let's start building bridges. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are, that you are the great architect of bridge building. And Lord, that you built the eternal bridge from us to you through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we can see the ministry of bridge building not as a burden, but as a gift. Lord, that you trust us enough to put in our hands the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bringing people to you through Jesus. Lord, I pray that you give us divine inspiration. Lord, bless our imagination. Sanctify our minds and our hearts that we might see the gap from a new perspective. Lord, that we can live among the people that we're trying to reach. That we can take a page out of Jesus' book and eat with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sick and the widow and the orphan of our day, who might look completely different than they did when Jesus walked on this earth, but are still of great value to you. Lord, break our hearts open. Don't shatter us to the point where we're useless. May our hearts not be broken into a million pieces so that all we can do is weep and mourn, but may they be broken open so the fullness of your love can pour out. Lord, continue to work in us. Continue to transform us. Continue to help us have that unsettled feeling that there's more work to be done. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.